Are you an author who's tired of the long waits and low royalties? Exact Rush is here to change the game. We specialize in publishing with precision, and we get your book to market in just 3 to 6 months, not years. But we're not just about books. We also support your photography, web design, and content creation needs. Our focus ranges from spirituality to pop culture, and we're excited about our diverse lineup of upcoming releases. So if you're ready to keep more of your hard-earned money and get published faster, Exact Rush is your ticket. Visit exactrush.com and turn your creative dream into a profitable reality today. Tap into your most original thinking. Organize your ideas. And create the opportunities to launch your creative work. Unlocking your world of creativity with best-selling author and brand innovator, Mark Stinson.
Welcome back, friends, to our podcast, Your World of Creativity. And today we're going to talk about the world of an award-winning musician, speaker, filmmaker, Stephen DeJoseph.
Mark, great to be here.
Stephen is a neurodiverse musician. He's broken all sorts of ground in international releases with the Decca label and the ADA group of Warner Music. He's got 10 albums under his belt, plus some great award-winning films and hundreds, if not thousands, of live performances and TV appearances. We've got lots to talk about. And his story also includes his very personal experiences living with Tourette's syndrome. Stephen, it's so great to have you on the show.
Awesome to be here.
Your career, as it spans 4 decades by now, multiple albums and singles and all sorts of performances, how do you think your creative process has evolved over those years? What are some lessons you've learned that you could share with our listeners?
Creativity waits for no one. That's what I could say any time of the day or night. Most people who are, should I say, in service to it, know that, and they go for it at all costs. So I've found that as an artist, don't have writer's block. And sometimes I don't understand writer's block. I guess what I have is organizer's block. Fortunately, I can find people to help me with that. But writer's block's a little harder. I think that the most of what I've learned is there's always something coming. And sometimes it's not convenient, but the years, it's okay. Like I have a life as a musician, and most of the times I have plenty of opportunity to put ideas down. And thanks to the little phones, you just flip on. And you make me feel I'm flying. You make me feel I'm flying. Yeah. Ooh, I feel I'm flying.
Yeah, it's so interesting hearing so many different kinds of creative, like you say, it's inspiration is one thing, but the organization is another. So from file folders of napkins and slips of paper to the phone and the little samples and demos that we can make on our own now.
Yes, I always admired the story of Frank Zappa, who said there was a point where he was working mostly alone on stuff in a studio with what was considered then a flagship sampling keyboard called the Synclavier. And he would write ideas all day. And then this person would come in at night and file all of them for him. Where is that person?
You know, so yes.
I just have about 30 years of stuff to wade through.
There you go. And so as I try to balance those two, inspiration and organization, sooner or later, there's a button you have to push that says, I want to record, I want to send, I want to publish. How do you get over that? Like you said, it's not a block of writer's block, but the organization block. How do you get over the hump to get the work out?
I push everything aside and I go to what has to happen. So one of the challenges I have on top of the organization part is the what I call MGD, which is multiple genre disorder. So that has brought me into a lot of styles of music. And so what I started to do was make full albums of each of the projects. And so that organized things automatically because there's a procedure, a recording procedure, preparing the songs, arranging them, and the recording and all of that stuff. I think when you have a project, let's see, where to start with that? When you have a project that helps organize everything, and as you move along with the project, you need to have a list of the things that are going to happen. In other words, you're going to work on the music, and at the same time, you're going to think about where you're sending it, and you're going to think about who would be interested in it. And you're going to make those lists. You're going to have things separated into the word marketing used to make me shake and cringe and stuff. But I learned that is just only a part, just one part, one very important part of the entire creative thing. If you are trying to get your music out to people, it could be just, you just want your album to be go to 100 people on your friends list or something, but it's still a little planning, and the planning needs to be have separate lists, and sometimes color coding them can help. This is red, this is green, this is yellow. And that kind of, those kind of notes at least get you in the ballpark. Even if like giving a speech where I'll just have a phrase and then launch off of that phrase rather than read the entire speech. It's like the same thing with organizing stuff. You need to reach radio stations. Okay. Then you'll need a list of radio stations and, and you need to understand the procedure of reaching them. So there's all these little moves, but you can do them step at a time. And it's a good idea to start it even when you're recording so that you're in the habit. By the time you're done, you're not just sitting there with the record. Oh, I got the record. Hey.
That's right. There we go.
I'll listen to it.
When you mentioned this multi-genre, I was going to observe in listening through your music, you don't seem to be confined or stuck in any one particular sound.
No. But it's like a record company's nightmare in a way. Not the label I'm with, because I choose the direction I'll go, especially if it's a label that is in a certain direction. Or so with this label, I could have gone in the instrumental direction, but I chose to go with the songs I had because they were very special songs to me. That it's almost like a collection, a best of collection, if you will, from several different projects, some that weren't really released. But that's it. So I picked that genre. That was my pet project, if you will, that I wanted to get this. Now that I had this opportunity to get it out with this international support, I felt that that was like a really good move with those songs.
Seems I haven't really been myself lately. See, I keep having this strange dream at night. I'm in a dark room, I can smell you all around me. There's something wrong, but I'm afraid to fight. It's our secret child, you whisper so low. You're so meek and mild, and I've nowhere to go with this. I've got nowhere to go.
Part of your story is also being a neurodiverse musician and advocate. How has your experience with Tourette's kind of influenced and informed your artistry, your storytelling?
In the beginning, I didn't quite understand how. It showed up when I was six, okay? And along with almost simultaneously with my desire to become a musician, it was very odd. And it was about 10 years, didn't know what it was. About age 16, I finally heard the word Tourette's in my case, and it meant almost nothing because I know what Tourette's was. So the doctor explained the vocal tics, the blurting, sometimes cursing, tick moving body movements. It gave a frame of what was going on, but the depth of it, understanding about it. I had 10 years where I didn't have a label, so I figured it was just part of being artistic. It was in a way with the word tickle, artistic. So I'm always, that's why I have this project called A Synaptic Adventure. But because everybody has that synaptic adventure, everybody has this process in their brain, but this was my specific one. So I called it A Synaptic Adventure, but nobody was really using the term synaptic adventure. So I feel like it became part of my project. Tourette's and Beyond, because it engages, it starts with Tourette's for me, but it really is a whole spectrum of neuro conditions that also exhibit extreme creativity in all kinds of fields. Bill Gates, All kinds of directions. You have this neurally gnarled variants where things are seen differently. And it's very interesting because I think it's what makes, as I was preparing a film that I made about this, I just discovered that there was like almost like an organization for celebrities with OCD. And it seems that these conditions have these sides to them where they add a dimension in the brain, or it opens up a dimension in the brain that allows for hyper creativity. And that's what I've seen.
It's so interesting you put those words, synaptic adventures, together. Yeah. The adventure, certainly.
It is an adventure.
I mean, your music is meant to evoke a lot of deep emotions, certainly. And yes. Thinking about your own personal vulnerability, and yet that strength that comes through your music. Is this by design? Is this what you're trying to communicate? That it's not a, quote, weakness, but rather it can be an adventure.
I think, and like the... there's a movie called The Accidental Tourists.
Yes.
basically, is the armchair traveler. You have something that's physically noticeable. And it's the elephant in the room. Was it the white elephant? I forget the phrase. The elephant in the room. So I'm there and I'm playing music and I'm making these. And I guess people figure that's part of this thing. But I wonder what it is. Some people used to think I was stripping because certain gigs I'd be playing, whatever, things go. So it became, at a certain point, a fellow who was an amazing designer, marketer guy, he said, you got to realize this is like this is a superpower. And this is like an advantage, if you will. If you want to look at it from this perspective, it makes the music that you're playing, it does something to it. Whether it's not so much, I don't know what the term would be. It adds to what I do, and it's part of my life. It's like my nose. It's been with me my life. And that is definitely in the music. Like I think specifically in the instrumental music that I do on the piano, that's the most fluid, I think, of instruments that I play, because it was like the sort of heart of everything. Mm-hmm. I got into guitar later, and I got percussion, and I got into producing and film and all that stuff later, but piano has always been something where it's a sort of an extension. And so we labeled my style piano poetry, which came in there. And the idea was classical and jazz meet quirk and funk. And that was like how the whole Tourette. And then when I would perform, I started labeling this piece Tourette, which was like a Tourette jazz. So all of this said, the whole point is that in performances, I'm not lecturing at all. I'm just being, and that's part of the story. And then people are curious, and I'm like, this is my story. So that said, then if I'm speaking, which I do these keynote concerts where I'm speaking on this topic of inspiration and determination, and the music accents the talk. But a concert is everything works together.
The poetry is evident. I love that you've coined all these great phrases, and I'm going to list a bunch of them in the show notes because I want people to see it and hear it. I don't want to skip by it.
Amen.
They were all too good. Thanks.
That's
for
great. Yes. Yeah.
And we'll play some more music here too for listeners to enjoy.
Yes.
Making my way down Street, walking strong on my happy, happy feet, grinning ear to ear from the inside out. Clouds just dissipate, there's nothing blocking my route. Feels so good, feel just right. Sunlight, in the sunlight.
So we'll come back to what you were talking about, the international album release and the support you're getting from Deco Entertainment and also the ADA Music Group of Warner. What brought these collaborations to the forefront, and how does it feel to really start reaching a wider audience with these great music supporters?
That's really amazing. I go on my analytics map on my website because I'm so used as an independent artist, like knowing, trying to have my hand on the pulse of everything. But with something like this, it's not really possible to know what's going on everywhere. You can search the internet, and I do that pretty frequently. I go on for the album title and I go on for my name and I see. So I've found, oh my gosh, my music's streaming in India or it's Asia now, it's Japan. And so that's new for me because even though there are these certain services that give you, quote, world distribution, it's really not, it's different when you're with a label because they're like automatic, you're like everywhere and it's at the same time. And it's really wonderful because, and that's what made me want to do the album that I did because I felt like those songs needed to be heard or I wanted them to be heard far and wide as much as I can. So that's helped in people paying a little more attention, I think, or I'm finding that at least.
So clearly we've been talking about the music, but you also mentioned filmmaking and a lot of speaking engagements. How do you feel that these other creative outlets, how do they complement each other? How does one inspire the other? I often find in talking with creative people like you that there's a lot of dashes and slashes created.
That's a great way to
put it. He's a songwriter, he's a filmmaker, and he's a speaker. Yeah. Wait a second. How did all these come together? So how did these ingredients help you?
In a way, they didn't help because they made another element to be, another thing to be tended to, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what one thing, it was organic with the advent of the Mac, I don't know what they called it, the iMac.
Yeah.
The real iMac, the little multicolored, weird shaped boxes.
I can still see that on my desk.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, you can make movies. Oh my gosh, you can record your music. And everything like that started to happen. Coming from the time when you had to go to the studio, for me, I'd go to the studio and that was maybe once a week and I'd wait and have to work on things. But now here's this tool in front of me to experiment things. And the price tag on making videos that I wanted to make was like $5,000 or something at the time. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try that myself. And I have this song and I'll make this video. And I went nuts with that. And the video actually got nominated in a music contest. And that was pretty cool. So I thought, this is pretty cool. I have a knack for this. So I just kept developing that. And when I reached the point where I wanted to tell my life story about Tourette's, I did a fundraiser, a Kickstarter, and I raised enough money to get the computer and get the program and develop the story that way. So that, I would say, everything worked together. The genres are because I just was always interested in different styles. At one point, someone that I was dating is a Celtic musician many years ago, and she said, can you do the thing you do, that piano poetry thing, under Celtic music, under Irish music? I'm like, why not? It's chords, chord changes.
Give it a shot.
My mindset, and I wasn't a traditional artist. I just started doing that. We suddenly had this like Celtic jazz duo. And so that things like that were very organic for me. I just wanted to explore something. And when it became something that I thought was worth recording, that's what I would go on to do. With the guitar, there was a gentleman passed away named Michael Hedges, if you heard
of
him.
Yes, I've heard of him, yes.
Incredible musician.
Loved his music, yes.
Just genius. Hearing that, and then when he passed, I think his spirit, that energy just spread all over the earth, and a lot of those kinds of tapping things started to really flourish, and so I got into that thing myself, but I was like, there's no way I'm going to work on this instrument like I have on the piano with the classical training and all the stuff. So I'm going to play with tunings and get toward, I had enough musicality that I could just start to explore. So I got into that and then that became a project. So that's usually what it is. If it reaches a point where I think it's really decent, it should be put out. That's what directs me with all that.
Love that. You've been great talking about your music and also this idea of empowerment and advocacy for neurodiversity, especially in Tourette's. Stephen, just can't thank you enough for a great conversation. Tell us where we can find you and follow you and hear more of your music.
Okay, so following me, so Facebook, I use that a lot, facebook.com/DeJosephMusicAndFilm, instagram.com/StephenDeJoseph, and that's with a PhD, D-I-J-O-S-E-P-H, Stephen DeJoseph. Then to Facebook and Instagram are mostly where I'm at. I'm playing with TikTok. I don't know. Yeah. And then I'm saying it's a great place to hear music there, StephenDJoseph.com.
Fantastic. We're going to put all those links in the show notes so it's easy for people to follow. And because the work is awesome. And get ready, folks, because it is multi-genre. So if you think you're only going to hear one note over and over, get ready. You're going to hear a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, you've been very inspirational sharing your insights and your experience. And I think we'll leave the listeners with some more music as we go out of the podcast. So thanks for sharing that too. You bet.
You push me down an elevator shaft, and I go falling. I go falling. I call you on.
Come back again
phone,
next time. We're going to continue our round the world journey talking to creative practitioners everywhere. We love to hear how they get inspired, and as we heard today, how you have to organize those ideas to actually make the connections and gain the collaborations and ultimately the confidence to get your work out into the world. And we've learned a lot from Stephen DeJoseph today. So come back again next time and we'll continue to unlock your world of creativity.
Unlocking Your World of Creativity with best-selling author and brand innovator, Mark Stinson. This program was produced by BSB Media, creators of IntelliKey Leadership Stories, Unlocking Your World of Creativity, and thepeaceroom.love.
Well, hi there, fellow content creators. It's Mark Stinson, host of Unlocking Your World of Creativity. I'll be a judge for the upcoming Live Podcast Awards. The Live Podcast Awards is your chance to be recognized globally for your high caliber content. Now, if you've entered the Live Podcast Awards, I and my panel of judges will be reviewing your podcast or live stream and your achievements in many diverse categories. Now, we've got a great judging committee. There's a really robust point scoring system. There'll be networking opportunities, all sorts of ways to join this celebration among podcasters and live streamers. So the awards description, all online at livepodcastmedia.com/livepodcast-awards. I look forward to seeing your entries.